A year ago, Defense Secretary Chuck Hagel announced he was ordering a 20% reduction in the sizes of DOD's headquarters staffs, including within his own office, the military services, and the combatant commands around the world. But a new report from the Government Accountability Office begs an important question. 20% of what? GAO looked at three of those COCOMs and found that their workforces have just about doubled in the past decade, and their collective budgets grew by about $1 billion. Meanwhile, those organizations appear to be walling off huge chunks of their workforces from any potential cuts by declaring that they are not part of the management structure. John Pendleton is Director of Defense Capabilities and Management at GAO, and he joins us now to talk more about the report. Hi, John. Thanks for coming on. Appreciate it.
Hi, Jared. Thanks for having me on the program.
And let's talk first, if we can, about those very large increases in headquarters size over the past decade and the reasons behind those. We have, of course, had a couple wars going on during that period, but did you look into the specific drivers behind that growth?
Well, what we were told everywhere we went is that the missions have driven the growth, and I think there's a lot of truth in that. The specifics depend on the circumstances. The Special Operations Command doubled, but I think anyone that follows the news knows about the prominent role they've played. The Strategic Command also increased by about half to almost 4,500 people, but they picked up a subunified command called Cyber Command. The Air Force also added a new command under them called Global Strike to deal with nuclear issues. The Transportation Command grew to handle the increased traffic from the increased war efforts, but they also inherited a piece of the now disestablished Joint Forces Command that was down in Suffolk. It's called the Joint Enabling Capabilities Command, and they go in and set up command and control in war zones, and so that got added over to them. So JIFCOM, didn't go away. Its tasks were just transferred, and it's still things the department thinks it needs.
Yeah, and to take an example of, for example, Transcom, I think a lot of their money is actually working capital fund money. So, you know, their budget is basically driven by demand. Is it reasonable to assume that once they're no longer flying as many people and pieces of equipment around the world, the reductions are going to kind of happen automatically?
That's what Transcom told us, that because they do pay for a lot of their operations and working capital funds, that would drive down, obviously, the money available to them and probably cause the core command grew some, but not as dramatically as some of the others. But they do believe it will come down over time. Nobody has specifics yet. That, as we finished our report, people were still working on that in preparation for the budget. But so we don't know exactly where the organizations are going, but I know everyone's looking at what the right size is at this point.
Okay, well, with that very good setup, I think the main thrust of your report, or at least one of them, is that it's going to be awfully hard to track whether DOD actually lives up to that 20% target that Secretary Hagel laid out, unless it decides what the starting point is for the reduction. So,
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Please. No, go ahead. I was just going to ask you to kind of walk us through some of the deficiencies you found in the data they're using to decide that starting point.
Right. A little context.
Sure.
This is the third in a series of reports looking at the combatant commands. The most recent one was on the functional combatant commands, which I ran through. We also looked at the geographic combatant commands, and what we saw overall was pretty dramatic growth. There's now over 40,000 authorized military and civilian personnel that are supporting these combatant commands. They're not all in the combatant command itself, but they might be supporting them in a service component command. And DOD said it wants to trim this overhead, but it's not clear to us that they're taking an approach that will really, certainly won't reverse the growth that we've seen. Perhaps that's not even appropriate, but we're not sure it's going to achieve meaningful savings. There's several reasons for that, and it's a little complicated, but if you'll hang with me.
We can do complicated, yeah.
It revolves around a term called management headquarters that the department uses. It was something Congress started limiting 30 or more years ago, and it's supposed to reflect the personnel that do strictly management functions like accounting or policy or other support functions. And if you read the fine print of Secretary Hagel's memo, he announced the department would cut management headquarters budgets by 20%. The problem was, what we found was that DOD had not really been tracking management headquarters for several years, that the Future Years Defense Program had a flag in it, it got dropped. As a result, as it moved into this process, the department actually had to ask the organizations themselves, what proportion of their organization was management headquarters and thus eligible for downsizing. Do you see the problem?
Absolutely, yeah.
The functional combatant command said that about a quarter of their totals were considered management headquarters, and that may or may not be right. All we know is that the department has not been overseeing it. And if you're doing the math, you and your listeners are doing the math, you'll have already figured out that 20% of a quarter, which is 25%, is actually 5%. So we're concerned that by approaching it this way, you're really not going to achieve meaningful savings. Now, what we haven't been able to do is trace through into the FITIP what reductions are being taken and when. There are many of them that we've heard about are in the out years of the Future Years Defense Program.
And so if I'm reading you right, the fundamental problem really is that if you're leaving it up to the individual business units, for lack of a better term, to report back on what proportion of their structure is actually in this management category, you're opening yourself up for an answer that comes back and says, well, virtually nothing.
Well, you're leaving it up to them to decide what's management headquarters. We saw a lot of variation. The combatant commands that I talked about, the functional combatant commands, the three of them, this is the four-star command, had maybe 20, I think it ranged from 20 to 26%, with the average being 24 or 25. Their component commands, the service component commands and others that report to them and theoretically, you know, actually do more operational things sometimes, were much higher proportion of management headquarters, 60, 70, 80, even 90% management headquarters. So there was some disconnect there, and it traces back to the instruction that describes how you account for management headquarters. We did a report in 2012 that identified some problems with that and recommended that it be revisited and updated, but the department hasn't gotten to do that. Now, the department did agree with us that they needed to set a clear baseline, that because of this, the decision on how much would be cut from each command was done sort of one organization at a time, and department agreed with our conclusion that they didn't have a baseline. Without that baseline, you really can't track or validate reductions over time.
Back when Secretary Hagel first set this target last year, I remember one of the concerns that some people expressed was that, oh, are they just going to cut civilian employees and turn around and replace those people with contractors? So did you look at how they're accounting for contractor spending in that management overhead structure?
We did. We tried. Unfortunately, I'm sure this is not a surprise to you. We weren't able to trend contractor numbers. There were a number of contractors that were brought on board. You could see the civilian numbers go up in the 2009-2010 time frame as organizations insourced. There were still a number of contractors, but nobody could give us reliable data that would allow us to compare. By squeezing the operations and maintenance funding that they used to fund these commands, there is a fair amount of reason to believe that contractors will be trimmed back some, but DOD has not given us any reliable information on that. In terms of the civilians and whether or not it will be contracted out, I guess that's possible. It'll depend some on the money and the way the money's dealt with. But these commands have become increasingly civilianized over the last decade. If you start, we went back as far as 2001 in some commands, 2004 for others, you would see maybe a quarter, up to a third of a combatant command be civilianized. We were seeing toward the end of the period, 2013 is the last year that we had, many of them had grown to half civilians and half military. The military growth in the commands was much less dramatic, in some places non-existent. But civilian growth was pretty much the case across all the commands we looked at.
Mm. Okay, so let's talk a bit about recommendations. If the department were to get somewhere near the reasonable savings, or if Congress were to direct them to make some changes, what would those changes be?
Well, I think the department owes Congress a report pursuant to Section 904, I believe it was. I'm pretty sure. Basically describing how they're going to take these headquarters reductions, and that's due any day now. So we await that to see how they say they're going to do that. And in that, we're hoping that they will describe what the baseline is for the reduction, so that we'll be able to basically say, okay, you said you were going to do this, and track it over time. Part of the reason we're so concerned about this, and I realize I'm probably harping on it, is we went back in time and looked at the last, in the mid-90s drawdown, right? And we looked at a report from 1997 that GAO did. And And when I read it, it made me realize why this was so important, because we concluded you couldn't trace savings. And I jotted down a quote. We actually wrote, DOD has played games to hide management headquarters personnel from Congress. And we attributed DOD officials in saying that. So we're concerned that the same thing could happen again.
So we've seen this movie before.
Yeah, absolutely. But now we did go a step further based on the body of work. We suggested to the Secretary of Defense that he reevaluate the decision because of the problems with management headquarters accounting to focus reductions on management headquarters. You know, by making them the target, it creates incentives for this. So we've suggested that maybe reevaluate that and maybe set a different target, because those data are just not reliable.
But we don't know at this point if you broaden the definition beyond management headquarters to just all headquarters spending, whether or not that would have a significant impact on mission. We can't know that yet, I assume.
We cannot. Absolutely not. I mean, and certainly, you know, in embedded in these headquarters are some operational type folks, and there are certainly missions that have grown up under them. I think, you know, part of the systemic problem that we saw and we dealt with in the report we did last year is that DOD has a process in terms of overseeing these commands to manage growth. You can put in a change request and give a justification for why you want to grow, but there's no process for periodically revalidating the size and structure of the commands. So in every one of these that I've looked at, until there's some sort of pressure from above, no one really, or a local commander wants to do it. There's no real systemic way of going in and validating this is the number of people that you need. And also, and this is an arcane management issue, but the organizations don't have transparency and visibility across and up and down. So you might have a combatant command that has four or five subordinate commands working with them. They can't see, you know, what kind of people they have and what they're working on. So the opportunity exists there where you might have multiple people working on basically the same mission, the same problem set. So we think some functional reviews are probably in order. We've been asked by in the authorization bill to go out and look at things in a functional way. It's like how do you support these commands, and they'll look not just organization by organization, but if you've got 20 people doing something 20 different places, is it possible we could just do it one or two places?